In the fall of 1918, the great war in Europe was coming to an end. Peace was on the horizon. The Allied forces had lived through some of the most difficult circumstances, the difficult conditions ever known to mankind. The trenches where those great battles were fought in the European, out there over in Europe, they were some of the dirtiest places, the smelliest places that man could even imagine. While those men were out fighting that battle and living in those trenches, they lived in fear of their lives. Fear of being shot or blown up by the enemy. But in those trenches out there, in the front of the war, at the very front of the war, there were some of the most deadliest viruses ever going through those trenches. And many men lost their lives to cholera, to trench foot, and to many other things. The men who had fought on the Western Front must have been glad when they got the news, the war is coming to an end. They must have thought of home, as they would get home to their loved ones once again to see their families. They must have thought of a comfortable bed to sleep in at night. They must have thought of peace, of happiness, of joy, of contentment, of relaxation. But across the world, there was a great virus breaking out. At first, it seemed like just a cold or a flu. But it was much worse than that. It was called the influenza virus. It infected a fifth of the world's population. 28% of Americans were infected, killing almost 675,000 American people, 10 times as many as was killed in battle in a combat situation in the war. 250,000 British people died in the period of the spread of this great flu. It is said that in 24 weeks of this virus, of the outbreak of this virus, more people died than in 24 years of AIDS. At that time, over the world, there was a great darkness, not only of the war, but of this great virus that was spreading across the earth. But this morning, I want you to draw your attention to the verse number 45 in the portion of Scripture we read in Matthew chapter 27. And it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land." This is a greater darkness we read here in the Scriptures. And when we look at the crucifixion of Christ, we could look at many things. We could look at Jesus being nailed to the cross, as those soldiers took that hammer and they beat the nails into our Savior's hands. Every time that hammer hit that nail and it pierced our Savior's hand, every one of those was for you. We could talk much about that. We could talk about his resurrection again. We could talk much about that, how the Lord Jesus rose from the dead again. There was the gambling for his coat. How those soldiers, they gambled their money to get the coat of the Savior. There was the mocking by the people. As they walked past, they wagged their heads at our Savior hanging on the cross. They made fun of him. There was the mocking of the religious leaders. Those that maybe should have known better, they mocked him. They made fun of him. They said to him, come down off the cross if you say who you are. If you say that, you save yourself. The thieves that were there, they said, if he can do that, he could save us as well. Come down and we will believe you. They made fun of him. They put the sign above his head. If this be the King of the Jews. That sign, what they wrote, was right. But they didn't put it there in that with that idea in their head. They put it there to mock our Savior, to make fun of him. But I want to draw your attention to the period of darkness from the sixth hour till the ninth hour this morning, and we want to draw some thoughts from these words, from this word darkness this morning. When these words darkness, when we read of this darkness that came over the world, we read of the cry that came from the cross when our Savior says, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was a time when God himself turned his back on his only son as he hung on the cross there, bearing the shame and the punishment of your sin and of mine. The hours of darkness. When we think of darkness, and it is totally impossible for us to know how our Savior felt as he hung on that cross. But when we think of darkness, we think of loneliness, we think of sadness, we think of fear. We think of difficult times in our lives. When things go wrong, we think of nighttime. When the thief comes, when the thief comes to steal and to do harm. But as we look through God's word, and we look at the word darkness, it is used many times. The word darkness is mentioned about 142 times in the scriptures. And different times through the scripture, it is used to describe sin. It is used to describe separation from God, from one another. But God sometimes used darkness to protect his people. In the book of Joshua, we read of the children of Israel, and they cried to God for help. Their backs were against the wall. They had nowhere else to turn. They were facing death. The sea was before them. And the Egyptians were behind them. And the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 24, verse 7, that God used darkness. He put a darkness between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. And he used that darkness to bring judgment upon the Egyptian people. God uses the word darkness many times as examples of ignorance, of error, of false doctrine, of crime, of sin, of judgment. And when we look across our world today, and we look at the people, even of our own land today, we see many people in darkness. It is a reality of life today. Our land is sitting in darkness today. They have no interest in God. They have no interest in church. They have no interest in the Bible. They are in darkness today. We live in a world that evil is called good, and good is called evil. You know, whenever I was growing up as a young lad, I can remember my parents talking about that. I can remember it preached from our pulpits years ago when I was a young lad, and I never forgot it. And I can remember thinking to myself, that's impossible. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. That could never change. Never in my day will I see that. When I look across our land today, I have seen it. It is real in every corner, every art and part of our world today. There's a great darkness. There's a great darkness in the governments in our lands today. They're passing laws that are contrary to God's word. We can all see that. You don't need me to tell you that. I work in the south of Ireland, as our brother Scott has already said, in County Monaghan. And I've been talking to the Christian people down there about the vote that was taken over these past few weeks, or a few weeks ago, on this gay marriage thing. Some of the Christian people down there are heartbroken. They say, how can this happen? What has went wrong? I met a man one day and I said to him, what went wrong? Why did you lose the vote? He says, you know who I blame? He says, I blame the church today. This man's a Christian man. Because the church, as a general rule, and there is different, there's ones that don't do this, or there's ones that do take their stand. But as a church, as a general rule today, they do not take their stand against these things. They won't come out clearly and say, it is wrong. And people are heartbroken. Wrong has become right in the south of Ireland today. As it has in England and Wales and Scotland. I was listening to the news one day there, this week I think it was. And I think it's the Prime Minister of, is it Australia? And she came out and she has spoken out. And she says, you either agree with our laws or you can leave just like the same way you came. Obey our law or get out. Now that's hard, and I understand it's hard. So it is. But is that not standing by God's word? Obey our law? Obey God's law? They have laws that are written that agree with God's law. If you don't like it, you can leave. No one's holding you back. There's plenty of countries in the world you can go to and you can get whatever you want. And as God's people today, we need to take a stand. There is a great darkness over the world. And as God's people today, if you're a Christian today, sometimes you might ask yourself, well, what can we do about these things? We are helpless in these situations. But dear child of God, this morning, God has a great plan. God has a great plan. He has a plan for those who worship Him and keep His laws. But if you are unsaved in here today, you listen. Because God also has a plan for you if you continue to ignore God's truth and ignore God's word. The Bible talks in Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, of those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They shall be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place of torment. A place of torture. Listen, dear friend, today, it is a real place. And I don't care how much money you have. I don't care whether you're wealthy or whether you're poor. It doesn't matter what laws that are made by governments all around the world. They all face a great darkness. If they are contrary to God's law. I wonder this morning, how does God see you? How does God see you this morning? Are you saved? Are you walking with the Lord? One day, we will all stand before God. And we will give an account of ourselves. And you'll not stand before God with this church standing around you. You'll not stand before God with a minister standing beside you. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you offer to God. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is, if you are a Christian, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But let us look at the darkness of the cross. As I was thinking over the darkness of this cross and what it meant to me, I can be honest and say I humbly bowed my head and I give thanks to my God for the mercy and grace He has shown to me in my life, for saving me from the darkness of my sin. God, in His wonderful mercy, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be a sacrifice in my place, in your place. That's why Jesus went to the cross. As God laid the sins of the world on the body of the Lord Jesus, over these 3 hours of darkness, there wasn't one word spoke from our Savior. In His agony, the Lord Jesus Christ wrestled with the powers of darkness. You see, dear child of God, today, our battle is not with our neighbor. Our battle is not with someone from a different background than us. Our battle is not with Russia or with America or anybody else, or Islamic State, or any of those places. You see, the battle we are in today is the battle of principalities, of powers, of the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's our battle today, if you're a child of God. And that's how we need to pray to God, that God will intervene, because He is the only one. He is the only one that can deal with these rulers of the darkness of this world. And we need to ask God for His intervention. But as Christ wrestled with the principalities and the powers of the darkness of this world on the cross, God Himself turned His back on our Savior. And over the 3 hours of this darkness, God punished His own Son for you and for me. He was beaten for you and for me. He died for you and for me. Isn't it humbling to think this morning that God, who created the heavens and the earth and everything that we enjoy today, He loved us so much that He would keep His only Son on that cross? He could have called 10,000 angels. Do you know what? He didn't need 10,000 angels. He could have came down off that cross Himself. He could have stopped it. But you know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ went through the darkness for us. That was God showing His love to mankind, to you and to me. I want to ask you a question. Do you love Him back? And before you go through those doors this morning, you will answer that question. Whether you want to or whether you don't want to, you will answer that question. Do you love the Savior back? Because He loved you with a love that kept Him on the cross. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's darkness. That's darkness, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He loved us. And He wants us to love Him back. You see, the only hope of eternal life that you have is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have no other argument. You have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me or you. I wonder, do you love him back? You can love him back this morning by just simply trusting in him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You've nothing else to do but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Will you do that this morning? But you know, we've looked a wee bit at the darkness of the cross. So we have. But there is a darkness to come. There's many darknesses to come in this world. The scriptures teaches us much about them. I want to turn you to one. I've been reading over the book of Revelation. And don't get me wrong now, I'm not going to speak in prophecy here or anything like that. There, definitely not. But I've been stuck in the book of Revelation for about this past month or a month and a half. And you know what? I absolutely love it. And I'd encourage you to read the book of the Revelation. And get something to help you, because it's hard to understand it. And there's probably 90% of it I don't understand. I've been in it a month and a half. But I encourage you to read the book of Revelation. But I want to turn you to a time where it talks about darkness. Revelation chapter 9, verse, I want to start at verse 2. I'm just going to read a few verses of it. And we're thinking here about the darkness to come. We've looked at the darkness of the cross, the darkness that Christ came through as he hung on that cross. I want to turn you to the darkness to come. Revelation chapter 9, verse 2. I'll start at verse 1. We may as well read verse 1 as well. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now let's set that straight. The bottomless pit is hell. Okay. That's what we're talking about here. Okay. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of that pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Listen to verse 6. This put fear in me for people that are outside of Christ. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Here's a time to come when there is great darkness. When the bottomless pit, when hell will be opened, and there will be a smoke will come out of that bottomless pit that is thick enough to block out the sun. And there is so much torment over this time that mankind that's talking about, mankind will want to die, and they'll not get death. That teaches me of a time of great darkness in our land, across this world. Now, we're talking about the coming of Christ in the book of Revelation. And John had the privilege of being taken and shown these things. But it's talking of a time of great torment. Now, I'm not saying that those locusts that will come out of the smoke will be actual locusts. there'd be demons, evil things, wicked things that will come into our land. And those who have not the throne of God in their foreheads, that's in their mind, in their whole body, those who are not living for Christ are going to face a 5-month period of great darkness, because they're the only ones that are going to be attacked here. And if you're a child of God, this is what I've done. If you're a child of God, you can praise God tonight that you're not going to be one of those, because they're only sent to harm those who don't believe in God as their Savior. This is a time of great darkness. As we look across our world today, men think they can do whatever they like. But I tell you, there's a time coming, a time of darkness, when man will not think they can do whatever they like. They can't even die when they want to. A time of great darkness. In view of this darkness, I want to ask you, we sung that hymn, we sung it for a reason. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, when the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Or will you be in this darkness? You see, hell is a place of great darkness. A darkness that we can't even imagine. I wonder today, where do you stand with God? Where do you stand with God? You see, today we live in a place where men think, God will not judge me because I'm good enough. I go to my church. I pay to my church. I help out with charities. I have a good job. I'm not living off the government. And some people have to. I accept that. But there's many in our land today who do not have to. I was down in Monaghan this week, and a man came to me, and he says, you know, this is the most boring place on earth. He says, you couldn't even get a job. I went round the corner, I was speaking to another man that works in a big factory down there, and they're crying out for people to work. His problem was he didn't want to work. But we live in a time when men think they can do whatever they like. Satan the angel, whenever he was an angel in God's heaven, he thought he could do what he liked. But God judged him. And there's coming a day of judgment upon our land. 2 Peter 2 verse 4 says, God didn't even spare his angels that sinned, but cast them into hell, into chains of darkness. Of darkness. As Christ hung on the cross over those 3 hours of darkness, Christ tasted of that great punishment that we deserve. Christ has done his bit. He done what he came to do. Now it's your turn. What about you? Are you going to face this great darkness of being lost eternally by God, judged by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? We don't say these things to scare you. We say them because we love you. If you are out of Christ without a Savior this morning, we say them because we love you. Because we don't want you to be there. We don't want you lost and alone. We want you in heaven with us. We've talked lots about darkness this morning. For 2 or 3 minutes, and I know time has gone. For 2 or 3 minutes, I want you to turn with me to Revelations chapter 4. And we're going to turn this darkness into light this morning. We're going to turn this darkness into light. Revelations chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. And John's talking here about being taken. And the door of heaven was opened for him, and there he stood before the throne of God. And he could see many things that were around the throne of God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." That teaches me that there's only one way. There's only one God. There's only one Savior. "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in sight like unto emerald." Whenever I looked up these stones that it talks about there, the jasper and the sardine stone, it mainly comes in a red color. A deep, dark red color. Do you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the cross. The darkness on the cross. When Christ paid the price for our sin. Talks there about the emerald color. That talks about life. Life, eternal life. Forever. Around the throne of God. It talks there about the rainbow. And the rainbow is used many times in these days. And whenever the vote was taken in the south of Ireland, they said that God has blessed our vote because over Parliament buildings in the south of Ireland, there was a great rainbow came. That's what they say. You know what the rainbow reminds me of? Not what some people today anyway think of. The rainbow reminds me of God's promises. And God has promised he's coming back again, and he's taken his children to an eternal home in heaven where we will sit round the throne of God, where there is eternal light and eternal life. But the rainbow also reminds me of God's judgment. God judged the world one day. He sent a great flood, and he destroyed mankind. Bar Noah and his family. It shows me of God's grace, and we still live in the day of grace, and men and women can turn to Christ today and have their sins forgiven and have the promise of a home in heaven if they will just but repent of their sin. Around the throne of God is great beauty. There's great light. There's no darkness. A place of eternal happiness, where God shall wipe the tears from our eyes, and we shall live forever with our Savior. If you're a Christian this morning, do you not rejoice in that? Do you not rejoice in that? I do. I'm looking forward to standing before the throne of God and seeing my Savior face to face, where he will say, "Come in, my good and faithful servant." If you're a Christian today, we must be about our Father's business, because there is much to do. The fields are white and ready to harvest, and we must go. Wherever you go, you can live for God, because you know you have the promise of an eternal life in heaven with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords. Where there is light, eternal light. But if you're not a Christian, I want you to think about the darkness you face. It's not to scare you, it's because we love you, for Christ's sake. Will you turn to Christ today and seek his face when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder. Will you be there? Let us pray.